are Poke World Outreach, a ministry called and ordained by God to teach, preach, and bring deliverance to millions of people around the world. Reverend Dr. Apoki Osi is a medical doctor by training and a preacher by calling. He is an international conference speaker and a prolific writer of motivational books loaded with wisdom and insight. Stay blessed as Reverend Dr. Apoki Osi brings the diluted word of God into your home.
I am speaking on the subject I tagged content. Content. What is content? I am not talking about contentment now. I am talking about everything that is contained within something. When you see a bottle of drink like Coca-Cola, they will write there liquid content only. That is, when you are buying it, you are not buying the bottle. What you are buying is what is inside the bottle. It also means the amount of particular substance contained in something. I went around and I started checking things. You will see that a meal, they will tell you so percentage of sugar, this percentage of potassium, this percentage of fat. It contains so calories per gram. So content is the amount of particular substance contained in a thing. In each of us, there is the content of God. When Adam sinned and fell from grace in the Garden of Eden, he died because God was switched off from him. God said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." When God switched off himself from Adam, because Adam disobeyed God, Adam was still alive but not dead. It is like radioactivity. In radioactivity, substances like uranium undergo gradual decay. It is called half-life, the decay. When you switch off a fan that is on high velocity, the fan will gradually reduce in speed. When Adam realized he was naked, it was the radiance, the content of God, that suddenly decreased in intensity. Mosquitoes were not designed to bite man. Bacteria were not designed to plague man. It is when the glory and the radiance of God was switched off from man that Adam noticed he was naked. When a car is coming in the dark and the headlamps are blazing and shining very brightly, you cannot discern the form of the car. That's why animals are hit on expressways. Because when the rays of the sun hit their retina, they are confused. And so human beings were not designed to fall sick or to die because the nature of God is in us. Now, if you plot a graph of the nature of God, or GG, glory of God, on a vertical axis against T, which is time, on a horizontal axis, you will find that the glory of God is like the demand curve. It slopes gradually from the left to the right. That is to say, as time went on, people started decreasing in longevity. People were dying at 900, 700, and gradually we have come to the point when we celebrate 120, and 70 became the expectation, even with the glory of God, at this level of existence. And as the glory of God is living man, the manifestation of the seed of the devil that was planted in Eve and Adam also increases in intensity. That is why if you plot a graph of demonic activity, DA, against time, you will see that there is an increase in DA, demonic activity. And the thing is that if you add D to evil, it becomes devil. So doing evil makes you a product of the devil. That was why when I spoke on energy, I told you about the terrible activities that are taking place in Nigeria currently. And you see, why God did not tell us when he will end this world is that it is going to reach a point, the two graphs, like the graph of demand and supply, there is an equilibrium point that is reached. And no man can determine that. It is even the church that is preventing the decay at a rapid rate to make the world end very fast. That is to say, the two graphs, like in demand and supply curve, they have an equilibrium point. A point will reach when God cannot tolerate the nonsense any longer, and he will wipe out humanity and bring out a new form of humanity. Humanity that looks like him again. We shall come to some of these issues as we go along. Now, I saw on television a few days back a young man eating human excrement. And people were testifying that his father was a very good man, very honorable man, that did not take bribes from people. The father even sent this boy, the eldest son, to go to a private school that they mentioned the name. Good private school. Why did this boy degenerate to the level of eating human excrement? He said that he was told that if he eat human excrement, he will be able to talk to his client. They asked him, who is your client? It turned out to be somebody. He wanted all of their monies, telling them if they do this and do that, they will get rich. Now, how can you, a reasonable young man who went to school, went to a private school, living in a civilized community, think that when you eat excrement, you will get rich? How can you think that when you eat somebody's heart, a girl's private part and her breast, that you will get rich? The person who was carrying the breast, the person carrying the hunchback, the person who has the blood has not become rich. How can you eat that person who was poor and become rich? I wonder how people reason. It is the emptiness in most of us that makes us want to do outrageous things for us to be able to get rich. I will look at some of the things we pursue in this country. And I must quickly say that we have lost societal values in the educational sector, in the religious sector, in every aspect of life. A Nigerian pastor in South Africa was arrested recently for sleeping with 30 girls. He wears designer clothes, designer eyeglasses, has branches in the UK, South Africa, even in Israel. It is the emptiness in him that will think that sleeping with women will give him fulfillment. I will come to that as we go along. Societal values have so degenerated that we have empty people in society. How can a whole nation sit down, the educational sector, and say that people should be admitted into university with 120 over 400 cut-off mark? 120 is less than 200. And when you admit children to university with 120 in JAMB, you will discover that you are admitting children with empty heads. The tragedy is that we who formulate these educational policies, our children are in Harvard, our children are in Oxford, our children are in Europe, our children are all over the world. But we want to destroy the educational system so that we can have empty-headed people, poorly educated people that can carry ballot boxes for us and can be answering, Shwansa. This is a terrible development. Now, what do we really attach values to in Nigeria, in Africa, among black people in particular? Number one, the color of skin. That is why there is racism. Even your fellow black people, once they see a white man, they will discriminate against you in favor of the white man until they see the content that comes from out of you. They will want to treat you shabbily. I have experienced it in several nations I've gone to preach. The white man will also want to treat you as a black man very shabbily until you prove yourself to be more intelligent than him. I went to preach in Lagos for Bishop Humphrey Erumaka, and an American came. He was also a black man, but looking at me as a Nigerian, he wanted to underestimate me. And by the time I was called up to speak, he refused to open his Bible. When I noticed that insult, I increased the frequency of discussion. I went deep into the archives of my heart, into the archives of my mind, and brought out information. The first thing he did was he opened his Bible. The next thing he did, he brought out his camera. When I noticed he brought out his camera, I started blowing his brains to smithers. And then he came to hug me when I finished speaking. Now, until what was inside me came out, the color of my skin did not matter. Now, the thing is that human beings pay attention to color more than content. Now, I was in Port Harcourt to preach with an American in a black church. Naturally, the white American was used to being a star anywhere he went to in Africa. You see, let me tell you one clear thing. Life is competitive. Life is comparative. People have appetite. They want value. They want to see content. And so, I went with Bishop Ben Dada. He can testify to this. The American spoke, and you know, black people, whether they understand what he's saying or not. Oh, by the time I took the microphone, I took the discussion to a higher level. And when I finished speaking, I brought out so much information, even concerning America, that he did not know. When we got to the hotel, he told me to come and sit on his lap. He was an old man like a baby. And I sat on his lap like a baby. And he told me that he will give me anything I wanted from America. One thing I had learned was that the kind of education I received in secondary school was such that our target was to come up among the first 10 in all the arms of government college Ugeli. But today, mothers buy phones for children that people who work in oil companies cannot afford. But they will not come to school to check the results of their children. They will not check the assignments of their children. They will not bother about the content of the children's mind. That is why you see parents are ready to buy exam question papers for children, even in secondary school, even in primary 6 examinations. At one time, I made the best result in geography in Form 4 in the whole of government college. I made the best result in physics in Form 5. So what was speaking, what was interacting with the American started years back. Back from 1972 to 1976. It even started far back to primary school in the Baptist primary school at Warwick. Now, parents are more interested in some things I will mention later than the content of the minds of their children. My mother also gave me a principle. The principle is of self-respect, dignity, and respect for another man's property. You never brought a ruler to our house that my mother did not buy for you. You never wore a cloth she did not buy for you. We had self-respect. So when the white man told me that he will give me anything I wanted from America, I was not the one that invited him. I knew him through Bishop Bernard Dada. And so I told him, I am not a typical black man. I don't beg. That was a content in me that my mother put in us, very young age. And so whatever you own is your own. What is not my own is not my own. You can wear an expensive shirt. I wear my Okreka shirt. It's my shirt. It's not your own. And so I have learned to have self discipline concerning another man's wife, another man's daughter, another man's property. I hate to present a picture of what I am not. And that stemmed from what was planted in us as children. If I had started discussing with that white man about the help he would render to me, I would have betrayed my pastor friend and bishop who introduced him to me. That's what we don't have in Nigeria today. A lot of us are ready to cut corners, to undercut people, break relationships, destroy families, destroy family businesses because of greed. We were very poor, but desperation was not part of our character and will never be part of my character. The water I will drink will never pass me in a river. Begging is not in my character. When we were in town here, soaking garri without sugar, one day a pastor came to visit me. There was no food in the house. I didn't know he was coming. I put garri inside water, no sugar. And as I was just preparing to drink it, a medical doctor, somebody knocked on the door. By the time I opened the door, it was a pastor. And he sat down and was telling me long stories. And my garri was doing press up. Was speaking an Igbo, singing an Igbo song. The garri was swelling up. I had to quickly tell the pastor, please, can you wait for me downstairs? Let me do something and I will join you just now. Pastor went downstairs. I quickly soaked the garri, made sure I checked my teeth so that there's no evidence. How can you explain soaking garri early in the morning, medical doctor? The emphasis on color, that is why people bleach their skins to look fair-skinned. Bleaching is a manifestation of inner emptiness. The truth of the matter is that there are more poor people with fair skin in South America, in Bolivia, Belize, even in Argentina, in Belize, Guyana, several parts of South America. You have poor people with fair skin. So fairness of skin does not translate to wealth. In Ethiopia, very fair. In Yemen, in Eritrea, in Egypt, color without content is emptiness. The next thing is clothing and covering. When I look at our people, we say this is my traditional wear. The cap the Urobo man wears is produced in Europe. The coral bead is produced in Europe. The lace is produced in Europe or produced in India. The wrapper is produced in India. The shoe is produced in Europe or somewhere. The walking stick or the cane you use is produced by another country. So how did it become your traditional wear when nothing you are wearing on your body was produced by you? And today, the average African woman is so unreal. They have fake hair. Brazilian weave on. Indian hair. Let me quickly talk about Brazilian weave on. A woman in America spent $1,500 to fix Brazilian weave on her head in New York. She started having headache. She was complaining of headache and headache and headache. And they went and did an x-ray. They didn't see anything. They gave her analgesic. After some days, a doctor decided to look at the hair and look at the scalp. They found worms coming out of the head. And they shaved the hair, removed hundreds of worms. I watched it online. Hundreds of worms. It was later discovered that those worms are the kind of worms that eat dead bodies. It was discovered that the Brazilian weave-on the woman put on her head contained the eggs of maggots that eat dead people. And they hatched on her scalp and started eating her coconut head. The Indian weave-on you put on your head is collected from shrines in India. When people don't have money to give offerings to the demons of their shrines in India, they pledge their hair as offerings. And the hair is shaved off and then soaked in water. And there are people who buy them from Britain and from the United States. And you now carry the offering of a shrine from India and put on your head that you are doing fashion. The average African woman today is very un-African. The hair on her head is from India or Brazil or China or is made of plastic. They have fake eyelashes. They have fake fingernails. They even have fake height. They have fake coating on their faces called makeover. They even have fake speech, as in, it's like, and by the time you speak with them further, what happened? Oh, a car was came in, another one was went in, and two of them just hit bold. With all the attire on your head and on your body, if you can't speak well, your content is empty. And men of substance, families that have content cannot marry you. A man first has a discourse intellectually with you before intercourse. If your discourse cannot match the discourse of a man, and he has intercourse with you, you are just a vitaphone mattress. You are just being exploited. Now, the next thing is cash. The average Nigerian thinks that it is money, money, money. I want to make it. I want to hammer. And they don't even care how they make the money. As I speak along, you will see that there are platforms where you cannot enter even with your money. That people who don't have money but have content can enter. The next thing is coitus. Coitus is sexual intercourse. This has become a sickness, particularly in third world nations, particularly in Nigeria. People display nudity. Display nudity in church. There's sexual immorality in our churches. Even the music we play in church is so enticing and revealing and seductive that you wonder whether it is God we came to serve. I went to South Africa to preach in an Indian church in Durban. And you see the trouser of the woman singing, "I want more of you, Jesus." I say, "It's not the Jesus I know you want more of." I had to close my eyes. When she finished singing, she wants to hug me. I said, "No, we don't do that in our area." They've turned sex to like sharing a drink. Even primary school children. People are such that promiscuity is so prevalent today that we now have lesbian clubs online in Ugeli here. Many of your daughters you think are at home and other girls are coming to visit them. Please never allow it. Let them sit in the sitting room. Lesbianism has pervaded our society. Bisexual married women, bisexual pastors' wives are having sexual relationship with people's daughters, and you might not know. Another thing is certification and careers. People want to get certificate without content. Today's graduates are unemployable, as I said in my previous broadcast. How can a graduate say that a wall gecko is a domestic animal and that a wall gecko is an insect? How can a graduate of microbiology say that Pseudomonas is a multicellular organism and that platelets are blood vessels? She was smiling with red lipstick and a coated face, and I was so angry with her. How can young girls, parents, start to buy tight-fitting clothes for small girls in primary school, in secondary school? How can parents wear their daughters' bomb shorts and they don't know anything and they can't even pass exams well? You wear a girl tight clothes and she's leaving your house with an empty brain. Your curves are of no consequence if your brain is empty. Today, people go and put silicone in their breasts, put silicone in their buttocks just to have curves and twerk. Emptiness will not take you anywhere. We shall come to something later. Now, charisma has made people look for anointing in every way. You will notice that everything I've been preaching is see, see, see. Content is see. Cash is see. Coitus is see. Character is see. Clothing is see. Curves is see. It's poetic. Charisma, anointing of just falling down and twitching, If you fall down and twitch under anointing and you are empty, your twitching and your convulsion is indistinguishable from epilepsy. The church has paid too much emphasis on signs and wonders rather than content. That's why our church services have become boring for intellectuals, for reasonable people. Recently, we were in a conference in Port Harcourt, the Nigeria Christian Graduate Fellowship, on the 25th of August, 2015, to be precise. The lineup of guest speakers included the following. Number one, Pat Utomi, special advisor to Shagari at 20-something years of age. Obi Ezekwesili, former minister. Dr. Olusegun Mimiko, former commissioner, former minister, former governor of Ondo State. Justice Ita Mbamba, justice of the appeal court. Bishop Professor Vincent Iyawe, provost of the College of Medicine, University of Benin. Professor Adisa Charles, a surgeon in Abia State University Teaching Hospital. Professor and Professor Mrs. Osakwe, and a deputy DVC from one of our universities here. And your humble brother, Dr. Apoki, was also slated to speak. Now, that lineup of professors, doctors, prominent scholars, you can't go there and start shouting hallelujah alone. You can't go there and say amen, amen. Your message needed to have content in that environment. I went to speak to Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Binance Hotel some years back in Aba when I started ministry newly. For every statement I would make, I would say amen, 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 amen. When I finished preaching, I met my wife outside. I said, how was the message? She said, powerful, my husband, powerful. At night, I wanted to take another dose of the powerful before sleeping. Madam, how was the message? How did you see it? It said, powerful. Only say the amen, amen, nearly too much. So the content of my message had too many amen, amen. It's like a message, my father, my father, my father, my father. No, that message is hot water. Until you put ingredients in it, it will not turn to soup. Now, on my day of speech, Bishop Professor Iyawe, Dean of College of Medicine, was seated. Professor Charles Adisa was seated. I did not know that I was sitting near Dr. Olusegun Mimiko, former governor of Ondo State. And I was just interacting with him until he said, when I was governor, I did not sign any death warrant. And I looked at him. Here was a governor. No policemen, no soldiers, simply dressed, sitting with me, interacting with me. No person came to push me that I should not use my body to touch him. And I went to preach in a church that was very spiritual. A governor's wife came to speak. They said I should not sit near her. Today, they are no longer in power, but I'm still in ministry. Politics has an expiring date, but anointing has no expiring date. And the atmosphere was tense. I woke up that morning tense, and I will tell you why in a few minutes. Now, in this atmosphere, your degree was not important because we have four doctors lined up. The vice president of the association is a medical doctor. My family background was not important. The clothes I wore was not important. In fact, the shirt I wore, I bought the material the whole 5 years, 5.5 years, for 2005. I took 2 yards, sold it with 1,005. So I think it was about 4,000 naira. The trouser was a gift. The shoe was 2,500. So I was now wearing up to 10,000. But I was to speak. That morning, I woke up because I checked the bill for that suite for a night. The bill for that suite that we stayed in that hotel. I had to call the organizers this morning to confirm the amount for a night in that hotel. The bill was 89,900. To sleep in that suite in Nigeria here for a night, 89,900. A meal was 4,000. Myself, my in-law, and my driver. When we ate, it was 12,000 naira at a sitting. To bring our breakfast up, was 1,500 to carry it in the lift up. So it came to 13,500. It was like when I went to preach for Humphrey and Rumaka, when I met that American, Humphrey took me for dinner in a hotel. And I looked at the bill. A plate of food was 7,500. When I ate the food, I warned my belly, do not vomit this. If you want to make me vomit, I will vomit you into a cooler and warm you again. I had borrowed 5,000 naira from my wife to add to the money to buy fuel to go to Port Harcourt. In my account, I had only 8,500 naira balance. These things did not matter now. But when I saw the atmosphere and I saw the lineup, I had to wake up earlier, drank coffee, and build my content so that the presentation could be powerful and meet expectation. It was a KJ-Kpo environment. KJ-Kpo in Urhobo language, as I said earlier on, when you go to war and the enemies surround you, you must determine, I must reach home. I will not die in this battle. As at the time I was dead, I was representing my family, I was representing my schools, I was representing the Urhobo nation, I was the only Urhobo man in the lineup in that hall, and I needed to perform. And I took the microphone. When I spoke, let me quickly say something. When God introduces you like a lion, don't behave like a goat. I spoke from the content of my inside. I had researched more that morning. I had read more that morning. I had prayed in the spirit that morning. I had released deep mysteries and information. When I finished speaking, Governor Mimiko came and embraced me. He did not know my father was a refuse collector. And said, Dr. Apoki, you have become my friend. You are an unusual preacher. I did not ask for his complimentary card. He gave me his complimentary card. His assistants came near me and collected my number. Justice Ita Mbamba said, I did not expect anything less because I heard you speak in Benin some years back. I tell you something, education will pay again. Knowledge will pay again. We have come to a situation in Nigeria where people think that thuggery, cultism, killing people, Yahoo Yahoo plus plus, is the easiest way to get wealthy, to get celebrated. Where we were speaking, your cult will not enter there. Where we were speaking, your cash will not enter there. Where we were speaking, it doesn't matter whether you bleached or you did not bleach. It was the content. The country and the world is coming to a level where content matters. It doesn't matter where you school. One of my children went through Noble Crest, went through University of Benin, and he went to Europe. Went to Europe, scored 83.33% in master's degree in software engineering in one of the best universities in Eastern Europe. And he traveled by train at night to a city called Yash for a PhD interview just to make inquiries. He got there. You know, in Europe, you can go to a bathroom in a train station, wash yourself, clean your mouth, and everything. And he got to the hall. They told him there was an interview. Can you do the interview? He said, yes. And he sat down with 9 white professors. An Otokutu boy from Ugeli went through Noble Crest. Who said our standard of education has fallen? It is our interest, the desire to have content that has fallen. It is the desire to produce men who can reflect the glory of God that has fallen. It is the hunger for excellence that has fallen. As we put energy into life, let's pursue content. Now, that young man was interviewed. He was the only person, my son, that was taken from all the nationalities that came for the interview. Content. Today, I see our young boys growing beards like Egyptians, growing beards like Iranians with empty brains. Your beards will not take you anywhere. Your beards will frighten people. Your beards will make you a suspect until you have content. In that meeting, the cash, the clothing, the money in our pocket did not matter. Our cars did not follow us into the hotel hall. It was the content that followed us. After Dr. Mimiko spoke, There was another volcanic eruption because he was not only a politician, he was articulate. He presented a film of the healthcare facilities he provided in Ondo State. There was a volcanic eruption. The good thing was that he was referring to my speech each time. I make bold to say that when anointing, certificate, cash, cars, charisma are equal, content will distinguish you and announce you. Because even if you fall under anointing with ignorance and you twitch and there is no character, you might be suspected, as I said, of having grand mal epilepsy. Good and sound education and learning will pay you. It will take time. I told you how I drove buses. I told you how I carried school children. I told you how I carried concrete to build this school. Today, this school is like a tourist center. People come from all over the world to come and look at what we are doing in Ugeli. In one day, three churches called from different parts of the country. And I just told them, book my flight. And they readily booked the flight for me to come and speak to them. It is not medical practice. They won't book my flight. In this case, now it is content. I don't need to eat excrement. I don't need to eat human part. The content of my mind will pay me. Somebody told me, doctor, he's in America, aka Leonuma from Abriba. He said, how will you feed? I told him, my mouth will feed me. You must improve on your character on a regular basis. These people have been calling me from year to year. And I made sure, once I finish preaching, I don't call their members. Young man, you go to preach in a church, you start to sleep with the girls. You start to call their members. You start to arrange all night for other people's members. You are stealing, you are fishing in another man's pond. Now, one of the things you need is to find out what your generation needs and add it to your life on a daily basis. In Japan, it is called Kaizen. Kaizen is the daily, progressive, regular, sustainable improvement on products. In those days, Japanese products were fake products. But today, the Americans went there and taught them, and they named it Kaizen. Kaizen has become a philosophy of management that you must adopt. Don't let people meet you where they left you. Don't speak to people and they hear the same thing from you. Change, add, improve, upgrade. Today we talk of packaging. Liquid contents only. When you finish using a product, you throw away the carton. Packaging is like wearing carton. Packaging is carton. Packaging is like a bottle. It is the content of your life that matters most. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needs not be ashamed. And that is the slogan in our school. And we'll keep telling them. Valuable as knowledge is, the power to acquire it independently is more valuable than knowledge itself, according to Bamuza. Attend good schools. Today, Africans like traditional dance in our churches. Cultural Day, Urobo Day, Ishekiri Day, we tie rappers to church. How much do we learn? How much do we even know about the Urobo Nation? How much do you know about the Chakiri Nation? How much do you know about the Isoko Nation? Our church services are unnecessarily long without content. Announcement will take 1 hour. Offering, we will dance and take 14 offerings. For what? You can tell them, take one offering and it is finished. I went to the Good Shepherd Anglican Church in the Delta PDDPA. When Venerable Arak, but then, before he became bishop, was pastor there, parish priest. I went there and taught them on how to take one offering. And they took one offering. They had more money. Because the people will be going to change 100 naira into 5 times. Just to waste time. Take one offering. Teach the people. And we leave church and go and do other things. This is no longer a rural ministry. Ministry has grown. Our villages, Afiesere, Ofuoma, they have grown. We can't behave as if we are in the village. The next thing is that you must regularly pray in the spirit. I pray in the spirit, but I don't disturb my neighbors. Don't start shouting, Roboskata, Ishekiri, where Sanda? Sanda the courier, and your neighbors cannot sleep. Every Monday morning, I hear people shouting in the church. What time do you have to think? What time do you have to read? What time do you have to do your business? When I see people pray and shake their head, a professor cannot shake a head with content. Now, regularly upgrade your anointing. Regularly upgrade your friends. 10 friends will not remain friends for 10 years. That's what I teach my students. Upgrade your friends. Leave those who are not moving. Move to those who are moving. Leave those who don't know anything. Always talking about Wizkid, Davido, Two-Face, Idibia. Leave them. Look for people who have information. If I ask you now, what is happening in Houston, in Texas? 90% of those listening to this message now do not know where Houston is. Do not know what is happening in Houston, in Texas. The next thing is connectivity and content. Communication is a means of interchange of content. And it is the interchange of content that influences society. Value for a person or a product is in its content. Value is a price any individual is ready to pay for your content. Pay for your skills as a mechanic. Pay for your skills as a tailor. Pay for your skills as a singer. Pay for your skills as a preacher. Pay for your skills as an artist. A man that is blind was invited to speak in Lagos for 15 minutes. He was paid 500,000 naira for talking for 15 minutes. And immediately they rushed him to the airport to fly to South Africa. I make bold to announce to you today that a young man I mentored in those days in the East has offered to broadcast these messages on FM in South Africa free of charge because of content. He reached my post on Facebook and he offered to broadcast these messages in South Africa free. If it had no content, he wouldn't broadcast it. I want you to also pray for me so that people can sponsor these programs in other channels on satellite so that we can reach our world. The value for a person or product or its content is the price any individual is ready to pay. Your content determines your pay. Your content determines your value. Now, I see wines in a supermarket I went to. One bottle of wine was 193,000 naira. What? 193,000 naira for a bottle of wine that is 1.5 liters. And people buy them. Business is an exchange of content for money. There's a meal called caviar. It is the eggs of a fish called sturgeon that grows in the Caspian Sea. Caviar is the most expensive meal in the world. Small cup, thousands of naira. The Jews went to the Caspian Sea, took caviar to their kibbutz in Israel, and today they are exporting caviar. Business is an exchange of content for money. Once you see a label, you will see the content. Once your content is not appreciated, your progress will stop. Now, it took several hundred of years before connectivity was restored after the Tower of Babel fell. The Tower of Babel was stopped. It did not grow because God confused the original language they were speaking. You know, Hebrew is the language of God. When communication ceased, connectivity ceased. When your content cannot attract people of value, you will remain poor. The best way to become important, apart from energy, is to have content that people can connect to. My prayer for you is that you will not have an international content and die as a local champion. And so, you need connectivity. God believes in connectivity. In the Tower of Babel, connectivity, the same speech, the same language, determined the same value they were pursuing. But when it was contrary to the will of God, God changed the content of their language. You will discover that in Akwa Ibom language, furobok means full nrobo, rurobo. It means the same thing in Urobo language. Unobok, it means you should fold your hand at your elbow. Sikene, sikene means you should shift near the person. In Igbo language, Udide is Udide. Odibo is Odibo in Yoruba language. Ololo is Ololo in Yoruba language. Obara is Obara in Yoruba language. The word coin is from Kain, which is a Hebrew word. And it is from Kain that coin came. And in Japanese language, Kain is also coin. That is, the story of the Tower of Babel was true. And you see, but on the day of Pentecost, God came down again. And Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, content, until you are endued with power. And the glory of God that was lost in the Garden of Eden came back as fire and rested on their head, luminous. And there was radiance. And the truth of the matter was that at the day of Pentecost, communication and connectivity was restored. And the church grew and the church made progress. 3,000 men were saved because they could understand the content of Peter's speech. Your content needs to be connected to another man's content. Your content needs to be appreciated by another man. That is how you can grow. Always pray that you shall not be like a palm tree planted in a bucket. The Bible says the righteous man shall flourish like a palm tree. Always pray that you are not limited wherever you are. Your denomination can limit you if your mind does not have contents beyond your denomination. Your congregation can limit you if you don't have content beyond your congregation. Now, in the Bible, the books of Moses are read, there is a word called Vav, V-A-V, that connects each verse to the other. And then, but, therefore, the word V-A-V is connectivity, so that the books of Moses cannot be read separately and make meaning. They were linked together by V-A-V. But you see, progressively, the content of V-A-V in each of the passages in the books after the books of Moses, connectivity reduced. Until it got to the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, you have 96% of it with V-A-V, Vav. Ruth is read on the day of Pentecost because it is the book of content and connectivity. I have good news for you. God is still interested in content and connectivity. Professor Samuel F.B. Morse. Morse is spelled M-O-R-S-C-E. Started researching on connectivity with electricity. And he started to try as much as possible to transmit content electrically. And he was experimenting with the telegraph. On the day of Pentecost, May 24th, 1884, was the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. Morse was in the Supreme Court chamber in the Capitol Hill then. He sent a message through wire to his assistant called Alfred Vail in Baltimore. What was the message? What had God wrought? That is to say, what has God done? And immediately, Alfred Vail received that message in Baltimore. Content and connectivity permeated the whole world. The telegraph started. And then newspapers were able to transmit their materials. The president of America in 1846 was able to send his messages electrically. And it is from there that the telephone came. It is from there that emails came. It is from there that internet came. It is from there that all electronic communication and the transmission of content was formed. And connectivity was established by a servant of God, a professor, Samuel F.B. Morse of Baltimore. Knowledge will pay. God is interested in people who have content. And I thank God that the issue of connectivity in modern day humanity that has transformed the world and brought people like Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, and all the communication we are doing today was invented by a Christian. It is also known that it was Alexander Dowie, a preacher, that said, "A time shall come that when I am preaching, my image will be transmitted electronically and people will see it far away." He said, "A time shall come when I speak, when people speak, they shall be heard far away." People prophesied the transmission of content and connectivity even before radio and television was formed. God is interested in the transmission of content and in connectivity. But you see, the book of Ruth is the mind of God, content and connectivity. Ruth was a Moabitess, and a curse was placed on the Moabitesses and a Moabite race, that no descendant of a Moabitess shall enter the temple until the 10th generation. That's 300 years. But Ruth had character, had content. She said, "Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people." Ruth had energy. When she went to Boaz's farm, she worked so hard that the farm man noticed her. Ruth had the reputation of content. Boaz said, "I have heard of you." Content of character. And it was Ruth that later broke the pronouncement that God put on the Moabites. So character and content will break ancestral curses. If I break ancestral curses on you, and you continue with the character, the ignorance, the superstition, the stupidity, and the laziness of your forefathers, you will not change. Change your name until you improve on your content and your character. You are wasting your time with breaking curses and covenants. Changing your father's name. Bush became president. The son Bush also became president. Jeb Bush became governor. In Houston now, a cousin of the president is a commissioner there, handling relief materials. Bush, Awa, Ohia, Igbo did not prevent them from doing well. McCain, names don't really matter until your content change. You change your name, you will not go far. And it was through Ruth that David was born. Ruth was the great-grandmother of David. The harlot in Jericho was such that she had content. And she became the great-grandmother of David. Therefore, character, content is important. The church is to connect man back to God, to restore the content of God in man. How much content is in your church service daily? How much content is in the brains of the students you are raising? How much content is in your head? How much content is in your heart? This world is content, connectivity, and energy. May God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Remember, you can get these CDs and 50-something other CDs and our books and our booklets at Petra Christian Academy.